The River Valley Film Society will present the inaugural Fort Smith International Film Festival Friday and Saturday. Organizers say the festival celebrates the artistic expression and diverse experiences of Native Americans and people of color through film, panel discussions, music, and more. Colleen Thurston is the director and producer of the documentary short Sardis, which will be screened Saturday afternoon. Colleen, thanks so much for joining us. So Sardis is in the southeast corner of Oklahoma. I had to look it up because honestly, this is the first time I've heard of it, and it's in Choctaw Nation. Can you tell me, or do you remember the first time that you heard of Sardis?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I could tell you the absolute first time, but you know, I'm Choctaw, and my tribe, my nation, was embroiled in this like almost decade-long lawsuit regarding the water rights to Sardis Lake. And so the nation undertook a very large media and outreach campaign to, I think one aspect of that was to educate tribal citizens about what was going on with the water. And that was really the first time that I had really heard about Sardis Lake, I think, because I'm not from that area.
Why was this town's history one that you wanted to share?
I wanted to share the story of Sardis because Sardis is a case study. There have been towns all over Oklahoma, Eastern Oklahoma especially, which, you know, was designated Indian territory, that was native land, that were just completely inundated, completely lost, towns that were moved, like the entire town moved, and folks lost a lot so that these lakes could be built. And this happened throughout the country too, of course, not just in Oklahoma. But Sardis was a case study. And when I first met the folks in the community, they started saying, well, they were telling me that nobody had asked their story before. And I found out that this is a really unique community. There's a lot that's not in this film, but there's a really unique community. I mean, this is home to like champion rodeo riders there. And it was a tiny little town. The area is home to population of Choctaw horses, which are quite unique. There's just a lot going on there that I think, you know, almost got swallowed up by the lake.
So what I understand from the trailer is that, you know, Sardis is one of those towns that disappeared to make this man-made lake. I didn't realize that Oklahoma had so many man-made lakes, something like more than 200. You know, I've driven through the state, and I know on the way to Texas, I drive over Eufaula Lake, and that's massive. And I think in somewhere in my brain, I knew it was man-made, but I didn't understand that there were so many. Why were places like Sardis turned into these lakes? Like, was it for recreational purposes and tourism, or what was kind of the idea behind that?
Oklahoma has more man-made lakes than any other state. And the lakes were built for different reasons. I mean, they started being built as WPA projects. They were built for flood control. They were built for some of them for hydroelectric power. But tourism was always kind of that way to sell them to the community. Now, a lot of these communities had dealt with devastating floods. So if you tell folks, like I'm from Tulsa, if you tell folks in Tulsa, hey, we're going to build this dam so that we don't have to sandbag our houses all the time, you know, that's a huge draw for people, obviously. There were very legitimate reasons to build these lakes. Did we need all of them? I'm not sure that I could argue that.
In the trailer, one of the most striking images for me is the Sardis Cemetery that's in the middle of the lake. It's like what's left. There's a road that goes out to this cemetery. I'm kind of surprised they allowed it to stay. In Arkansas, in the northwest corner, we have Beaver Lake. And I remember growing up, we always heard about, you know, they dammed the White River to make Beaver Lake, and there were all these cemeteries that had to be moved. Did you explore too much the history of this particular cemetery? And were you able to connect with anyone whose ancestors are buried there?
Yeah, in the film, you will see folks talk about the ancestors that are buried there. One thing that we highlighted is the community's annual Decoration Day, and they come together every year annually and decorate the graves, and they have a potluck, and it's kind of a community reunion. Yeah, that's very shocking, right? To see these are our ancestors' burial sites. And that's kind of the one thing that I think cross-culturally people would think that's very taboo. You don't, you know, you let the dead rest in peace. And so they did build the cemetery up. Those graves were not they weren't moved. They moved all the headstones. They put, I think it was 6 or 9 feet of soil on top, and then put the headstones back. And some people believe that the headstones were not put back in places. There are grave markers that just say unknown. And, you know, these are from, some of them are like post Trail of Tears. So in the mid 1800s, and back then people didn't always have gravestones. They just had a literal stone, right, to mark the head and the foot. Well, did the Army Corps of Engineers plot that? Do we know? And that's kind of what the community wonders about. But also, there were a lot of family and smaller community burials, burial plots. And those were not, those were just flooded. Some of them were dug up, but if a body is already decomposed, what is there to dig up and move? So it's really upsetting. It is. And I think that that's kind of the human element, that regardless of what you think about the lake, it's, nobody wants to think that their loved ones have been disturbed.
You mentioned that Sardis is this case study, and I understand that the short is part of a larger project. Can you tell me about the focus of that documentary?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, Sardis is part of a larger project. I'm working on a feature length documentary called Drowned Land. And it deals with the history and the cycle of displacement due to resource exploitation within the Choctaw Nation. So, you know, we were removed by the federal government, forcibly removed to Oklahoma, we being the Choctaw Nation, because they wanted our land. And then once we got to our new homeland, which was guaranteed to us as long as the grass grows and the water runs, then they want the water, you know? And that fight continues today. Right now, there's an ongoing fight to protect the waters of the Kiamishi River, which is the same watershed where Sardis was built. So Sardis, within the larger story, provides the kind of cautionary tale of what can happen, along with, you know, the Trail of Tears. What can happen to these communities if what is valued is quote unquote resources for exploitation?
So that's in process, but people can watch the short on Sardis right now at the Fort Smith International Film Festival. What are you hoping that folks will take away from seeing this film?
I think a really important takeaway is to consider the land that you're on and the memories it holds, and along with the land, the water. Where is your water source? When you turn on the tap, where is that water coming from? And is that affecting other people? Right now, the Sardis Lake controversy ended up with Oklahoma City getting water rights to 85% of the water from the Kiamishi River, which is just downstream of Sardis. And so, you know, maybe in 10 years from now, people in Oklahoma City will turn on their water, but will they think about these folks in this short film? Will they think about the communities that have been affected in their access to water? I don't know. I hope so. Water is life, but we should know where it comes from, and we should respect our water sources.
Well, Colleen, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, and best of luck as the project turns into something bigger.
Thank you so much.
Colleen Thurston is the director and producer of the documentary short Sardis, which will be screened Saturday afternoon at the Fort Smith International Film Festival. Tickets and more information are available at fortsmithfilm.com.